This is our singing emphasis, fifth Sunday. So what I have done is chosen this song, O Worship the King, as the topic that I'm going to be speaking about tonight. It draws from the splendor of the 19th century monarchy back in the 1800s. It was written by a man in England that was well acquainted with the royal court and the monarchy, and he was sitting and reading one evening the 104th Psalm. So if you'd like to get your Bibles, as he read this psalm, he decided this would make a wonderful hymn, and so he sat down and wrote the hymn that we just sung. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chamber in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the waters or on the wings of the wind, and who makes his angel spirits his ministers, a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as it were a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away." The author just beautifully combines the biblical images with the splendor of the King of England at that time, the ruling monarch. And he paints a picture of God as king. Now, you know, in our day and time, that's a hard concept for us to think about. We don't have a king. But we can see what goes on in the royal family in England and some of that. It's the I just saw today, or no, yesterday, that it was the anniversary of the latest marriage of one of the king, or the queen's sons, and you know, big to do, and all of the wealth and all of the majesty in which they live. He takes this and in stanza one of the song, the monarch's role as a protector of the realm is captured in our shield and defender. The idea that the king was to stand out in a battle and lead the army, as it happened back in ancient history. That certainly doesn't happen today, the politicians leading the battle, or the king leading the battle. But that's the picture that we get as we look at this 104th Psalm. Psalm 84, verse number 9, is one of many passages that describe God as our shield. It says, "Oh, behold, O God, our shield, and look on the face of thy anointed." That's a wonderful thought when you think about it. When we go into battle with Satan, God's in front of us as our shield. We don't have to be the battler. We don't have to be the one taking the fight to Satan. That fight's already been had and has already been won. He is our shield, and we need to plead to him to look upon his anointed to protect us. Talks about the Ancient of Days in this song, and that parallels the lineage of the earthly monarch. You know, they're supposed to be able to say, my father did this, and my grandfather was that, and my great-grandfather was this, and all the way back to the Ancient of Days, the family line that leads to the throne. Of course, Ancient of Days is found in Daniel, the 7th chapter, and verses 9 and 13, and again in 22. 9 says, "As I watched, the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and his wheels were burning fire." So we get the picture in the first stanza that God is our defender. He's the Ancient of Days. He's been defending his people since the beginning of time, and he'll defend them to the end of time. And we can rest sure in that defense. We can praise him because he is our defender. Now, when we get to stanza 2, he defends the monarch as being the sovereign of all created order. He's the one whose canopy is space, whose roof of his house is space, and whose chariots of wrath form the deep thunder clouds, using very figurative, very imaginative language as he describes the power of this king. And then verses 8 through 32, stanzas 3 and 4 in the song, detail God's earthly handiwork as he creates the world and does all of the things that needed to be done. And then the final stanza of the song is one that kind of changes from looking at God to where it talks about humanity's part in creation. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail. You ever felt like that? Facing the world, just, you know, looks like you may win this one, Satan. You know, I just can't, I'm too weak. I've fallen too many times. I'm just so frail and so weak and so discouraged and so depressed. It's the antithesis to the majesty and the all-powerful nature of the king when we look at ourselves. And it's reminding us that we dare not stand up, you know, before the pride comes to fall. And we will fall. But the Almighty is described as a monarch whose mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. How wonderful it is to know that we haven't got some king, some majesty, some Ancient of Days that's going to yell us, get up off that chair and get to work. Don't tell me you're tired. You ever heard somebody yell at somebody like that, Clark, in the service? You know, I don't want to hear that. Our majesty has mercies that are tender. And they're firm to the end. Even when we mess up, he doesn't give up. Unlike earthly kings, though, this majesty that we serve has mercy. And it's great mercy. And it's firm mercy. And I love the last expression of the hymn, where it says, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. That kind of captures the whole relationship of God to man. I think of it when I'm singing it, of God to me. As I'm singing that song, I'm saying, thank you, God, for creating this world. Thank you for all that I have in this world. Help me, Father, to use the things that I have in this world, because you're the maker. Doesn't matter what I did to get it. You're the one that made it. And then you're my defender when I mess up, when I fail. And then you're my redeemer when I really fail, as we all have. And Jesus came to the cross and died to be our redeemer. And then how precious is that last statement? It says he's not only our maker, our defender, our redeemer, but our friend. Our friend. That's a concept that in this day and time is very difficult for a lot of people to relate to. It's not talking about an acquaintance here. It's not talking about a casual thing. This is talking about a deep-seated friend. One that you can go to and you can talk to and you can cry, and he's there for us. And the author uses 19th century terms, I know. We don't many times think about maker and defender and redeemer. But he is painting the fuller nature of God's relationship to mankind. The composer, by the way, is named Sir Robert Grant. He was born and died in India, so I don't think it's the same one that we know. India was an important part of the British Empire. A great deal of their wealth came out of India. Sir Robert Grant was a public servant who distinguished himself as a lawyer. He served as a member of Parliament. He served as a judge advocate general of the army. He was governor of Bombay. By the way, did you know Bombay is now called Mumbai? You know, where the big terrorist attack was and all that? That's what, when I was a kid, we called Bombay. But that's Mumbai today. He was of Scottish background. But despite that, the Robert Grants that I know tend to be a little bit stubborn, maybe? A little bit. Well, he was an Anglican and not a Presbyterian. And everybody in Scotland was a Presbyterian. But not the Grants. As a matter of fact, his father was a leader in the evangelical branch of the Church of England. We would call it the Episcopal Church. In this country. And he served, by the way, Robert Grant's father, a very active role in helping William Wilberforce to emancipate the African slaves in the English Empire. So he has quite a background behind him. As a matter of fact, he was born in India when his father went there to negotiate with the East Indian Company the barriers that they had put up to mission work being done in India. He was, like I said, a very, very well-educated man and was sitting one evening in India. He described it as sitting on his vanai underneath some vines, and he was looking out at the stars and reading his Bible, and he read these first few verses of the 104th Psalm, and just sat down and penned the words to this hymn. It wasn't published until after his death, and then it was published by his brother, and nobody sang it for 40 some years after his death. But then a Anglican preacher come across this little ragged paperback hymnal, and he saw that and he said, "That's a beautiful song." And so he introduced it to his church, and it spread through the English Empire until it's a very well loved hymn today. And it's one that encourages us as we look at it to think about our King, our ruler. You know, back a few years ago, we went through a period of time when theologians tried to make God our friend. Folks would pray to Daddy as a father, and you know, just a very close. Sir Robert Grant saw him as, oh, worship the King. And because of that, he was able to do many great things in his life. He had a relationship with God that enabled him to see where he fit. Extremely wealthy man, very powerful politically, very powerful within the makeup of the society of that day, but he never thought of himself in that light. He thought of the King and said, "You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as a garment. You stretch out the heavens as a curtain. You lay the beams of your upper chambers in the waters. Make the clouds his chariot. You walk on the wings of the sand, and you make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it would not be moved forever. And you covered it with the deep as with garment, and the waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke they fled, and at the voice of your thunder they hastened away." If you're having problems in your life and you're not relating to God in a way in which you're comfortable and which you think is right in God's sight, I would say tonight you need to go back home, get a songbook out, and read, "O Worship the King. O Worship the King, our shield and defender." If you need to come to Him tonight, you have that opportunity right now, while we stand and while we sing.